From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his fifth message in a series expounding chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. The title of the message is Christ Burdened, Blasphemed, and Beaten. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Hear So As to Be Heard. The text is John chapter 15 and verse 7, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Note well that we must hear Jesus speak if we expect him to hear us speak. If we have no ear for Christ, he will have no ear for us. In proportion as we hear, we shall be heard. Moreover, what is heard must remain, must live in us, and must abide in our character as a force and a power. We must receive the truths which Jesus taught, the precepts which he issued, and the movements of his Spirit within us, or we shall have no power at the mercy seat. Suppose our Lord's words to be received and to abide in us, what a boundless field of privilege is opened up to us. We are to have our will in prayer, because we have already surrendered our will to the Lord's command. Thus are Elijah's trained to handle the keys of heaven, and lock or loose the clouds. One such man is worth 1,000 common Christians. Do we humbly desire to be intercessors for the church and the world, and like Luther, to be able to have what we will of the Lord? Then we must bow our ear to the voice of the Well-Beloved, and treasure up his words, and carefully obey them. He had need to hearken diligently, who would pray effectually.
Thank you.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many voices are looking to the government or to social action for the solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with John Edwards. These were times of genuine spiritual revivals. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. In this series of studies on Isaiah chapter 53, Dr. Cairns is expounding verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns focused on the certainties of the gospel as embodied in the word surely. The term also conveys the sense of because, referring to what the Lord Jesus endured as he suffered the anguish of the beatings, the mockery, and the cross. There he bore the punishment for the sins of his people. The wrath and judgment of God fell upon him. This terrible treatment of Christ was nothing short of blasphemy, for it was and is the rejection of God. Now to continue a message called Christ Burdened, Blasphemed, and Beaten, here is Dr. Cairns.
You see, if Christ bore away your sins, your guilt, then your guilt is gone. Your heart knows that. The words mean that. You can't get around that. Your guilt is gone if Christ bore it away. Equally, if Christ bore away your sickness and every physical pain, and you're told that's in the atonement, then immediately you have the question, why do I still feel pain? Why do I still get sick? You then got to start doing some mental gymnastics. Now, of course, what Jesus Christ did in the cross ultimately will give us sinless and painless bodies. But the Scripture definitively states that the redemption of the body is at the resurrection. The Scripture definitively states, therefore, that that time when the full extent of sin will be destroyed, even as to its very presence in the body and its ability to cause hurt in the body, that time awaits the moment when our bodies are made like unto His glorious body. I got some sort of a production in the mail from California just a few days ago from one of the nation's leading charismatic healing preachers. And these characters are always up to something new to try and get money. And they've got to make it sound holy and unctuous. And anybody who falls for it, really, I must be honest, either is mentally unhinged, spiritually unhinged, or deserves all they get. It really is tragic to see, but I read this thing, and then I had a look at his picture. And he was as bald as Steve Dean here. And I could never figure this out, you know, why it's in the atonement for you to have your cancer healed, but it's not in the atonement for him to have his baldness healed. You want to stick to Scripture? In the Old Testament, if you were bald, you couldn't be a priest. So God certainly looked on it then as a physical infirmity and sickness. So strange that your sicknesses are sin if you hold on to them, but His baldness, well, that's okay. I hate to be cynical. The real reason is, you see, you're the mug. You're giving out the money. And if you're a big enough fool to fall for that, well, he'd keep on telling you your sins are in the, or your sicknesses are in the atonement, but his baldness isn't. The truth of the matter is very simple. Christ bore our sins. This is what the text is talking about. He dealt with the guilt of sin. He dealt with the judgment of sin. And ultimately, as I say, that will affect body and soul for all eternity and bring us into a state of sinless perfection forever. But at this point in time, we can only say that first and foremost, he deals with sin. And insofar as there are sorrows that the guilt of sin causes, they can be dealt with, and dealt with immediately. And the grief and the pain of guilt will be taken away as soon as you close with the justifying grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But as for the rest, you'll await the time when God removes the penalty or the presence of sin. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Christ the burdened one, Christ the sin bearer. And what a burden it was. You think of the heavy load. You take all the sin of your life. You take all the guilt that you have felt, how it has oppressed you, how it has weighed you down. I'm sure every one of us who's saved can look back, aye, and indeed can still look in and identify with Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, whose sin was like a great weight upon his back. There have been times when you have felt such a burden and weight of sin that it appears you cannot take another step. What a burden is the weight of one man's sin. Now multiply that with the great number of God's people out of all ages, from Adam right down the course of history. Pile on till you reach such a stage where no human calculation can come to terms with it. Pile on the agony. Pile on the grief. Pile on the guilt. And see what a heavy burden it is. And there's only one back can bear that burden. One pair of shoulders that can take that strain. Only Christ could be the burden bearer. Thank God he did bear it. He bore. He took the weight of my sin. He carried. And I think obviously we are meant to understand some shade of difference in the wording. He took the full weight of my sin. Thank God he didn't do it momentarily. He didn't do it in order to pass it back. He took it in order to carry it away. He carried it. Thank God it's gone and gone forever. Christ, the burdened one. The text not only speaks of Christ burdened, it speaks of Christ blasphemed. Notice this. He has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him. How did we esteem him? What was man's explanation for the cross? Well, men said, verse 4 again, he was stricken. He was smitten of God. In other words, men were saying simply that God smote him because he deserved it. He died because he was a sinner. The Jews came to Pilate and they said, we have a law, and by that law he has to die. They said he has a devil. They said he was the prince of the devils. They said he was evil incarnate. They said he was mad. They said he was bad. They said he deserved to die. The Son of God came among men. And yet, they blasphemed him. Christ's rejection must always be blasphemy against God. You cannot reject Christ without blaspheming the holy name of God's dear Son. Christ burdened. Christ blasphemed. Even though he was sinless, spotless, pure, holy, harmless, and undefiled. Even though the very heathen judge Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Even though their own temple guard sent out to arrest him had to say, never man spake like this man. Though the heavens were opened and God spoke saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Though the very Sanhedrin members through Nicodemus had to confess, we know that thou art come from God, a rabbi. Thou art come from God, a teacher. Despite all those things, Christ blasphemed. But there's truth in what they say. For what we have, thirdly, is Christ beaten. He was smitten of God. That's the strange thing. They meant it blasphemously. They meant it that he was stricken and smitten and afflicted because he merited those things. That was the blasphemous lie. But the truth is, he was smitten of God. In other words, as we were singing this morning, Jehovah took his rod, and with that rod he smote his own dear Son. The wrath of God, which was our due, upon the Lamb was laid. Christ was sore smitten of his God in order that we might never be smitten. The wrath of God against our sin exhausted itself in Jesus Christ. Never forget that. God's wrath against me was exhausted in Christ. There is no more wrath for any believer in Jesus Christ. Christ burdened, Christ blasphemed, Christ beaten. And quickly let me come to the fourth one. The result of all that, Christians blessed. I said that this is a text that says that Christ bore what he didn't have to bear in order that we might not bear that which otherwise we had to bear. Christians blessed. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. In other words, my sin, my sorrow, my guilt, it's gone. What are the burdens that we will never have to bear because Christ bore the burden for us? Well, you could take all day on that. I'm only going to give you a list before we come to the close of the meeting. Number one, we will never have to bear the burden of unatoned guilt. Thank God we can look at our past and say it's under the blood. God's people are told, look to the rock from which you've been hewn. Look at the pit from which you've been digged. Only a Christian can honestly afford to look at his past. You, if you're out of Christ, look at your past and it rises up against you. Every sin has a tongue that rises to condemn you. Every bit of guilt has a hand that holds a sword that it wields against you. I say to you that only a Christian can look at his past, because he says, my sin is under the blood. My guilt is atoned for. Thank God there is nothing in the record against the name of any believer in Jesus Christ. God finds nothing. God says there is nothing. The debt is paid. The sin is gone. The cause of judgment removed. The law is satisfied. Heaven is opened. No burden of unatoned guilt.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.